Welcome to the Adjustments in Life podcast, the podcast designed for anyone in or connected to the world of insurance adjusting. From industry experts to seasoned veterans, we bring the latest tips, information, and news. Because you know by now that becoming licensed is just the starting point. Now, here's your host, Alan Olson.
All right. Well, welcome back again, folks. It is another fine episode of Adjustments in Life. And lucky guy that I am, once again, is Jason Dyson in studio with us. How are you doing?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I just love having some good deep down conversation and getting some good information out to these folks so that they, as we spoke last episode, they get the real deal. They get information that they can take with them. They can take it for granted. They don't have to take it with a grain of salt and wonder. And sometimes it may be stuff they just don't really want to know about the industry. But it definitely, in my opinion, we're doing them justice by giving them the truth about how this industry really works and what it takes. And if they're good-hearted, good solid adjusters, they're going to hear what we say and they're going to use that as a positive way to benefit growing in the industry. So, hey, one of the things that, again, that I get questions about all the time, and some adjusters don't realize the different ways that you can be deployed and how that can work and how that can impact and what to expect when you get deployed. You know, we know that working on a CAT deployment.
Yeah, most of you guys starting off the industry, your first deployment is going to be a CAT deployment.
Absolutely.
But there's other kinds of deployments too, and typically it's not going to be your first time adjuster. Maybe we're talking to the more seasoned guy, or maybe you've got one CAT under your belt and they're calling you for another position. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, the only caveat I'll put on that is that I think that from time to time, especially in a real rural area, you might possibly get an opportunity to deploy to a less populated region of the United States to work claims because they have an excess of daily claims that they need to deploy a specific adjuster to go handle and just be there long enough to get them back on level ground again. And in this may be possibly a way to vet a new adjuster to see how they'll handle it. Now, again, as a newbie coming in, it's probably going to be one specific carrier, just like you were going with the CAT deployment. Mm-hmm. You're generally going to work one specific carrier during that deployment. So if you get deployed with State Farm, you're going to work State Farm claims, and they're going to give you what you need to handle State Farm claims. And when the State Farm claims run out, you're going to go home. Or likewise with Liberty Mutual or MetLife or whoever you're going to work with on that storm, mm-hmm. you're going to deploy for that specific carrier. But the deployments that we're discussing today are, again, the more regional, less populated areas where they have a little bit of an excess of claims from multiple carriers, but not enough to deploy a person for each carrier. Now they need an adjuster that can come in and work all of those carriers together to make one good deployment.
And that's typically where it's not going to be the first time adjuster.
I agree to that. There is a chance now and then that they could possibly ask somebody to do that that's new or newer. But you're right. 9 out of 10 times it's going to be a more seasoned adjuster that is more familiar with the different carriers or been around long enough to handle the capacity of working for multiple carriers all at once.
And the juggle that entails. And it's not just rural areas. It seems like there's those, for lack of better words, you know, gap-filling deployments, if you will, just picking up the slack in an area, California, Washington, New
that
York,
is true.
All the places that we continue to talk about. Yes, the rural areas, especially the Dakotas, et cetera, you know, Montana, that are hard to find qualified adjusters to handle those claims. The claims still come. The firms still have contracts.
That's
They've
right.
got to work those claims. So there are opportunities where will deploy an adjuster to go fill that multi-carrier spot. Sometimes that's paying on fee schedules. Sometimes that's being paid on a daily rate. And that comes with its own issues and sure. trials and tribulations that, that come with doing that.
Well, typically, my experience with those particular types of deployments, you know, you're covering a large geographical area. I mean, take this for example. A few years back, I got deployed to go help with hail claims in Rapid City, South Dakota. And you know all about South Dakota, too. If you're going to work a deployment in South Dakota, you're not just working South Dakota, mm-hmm. especially if you're going to work Rapid City. You're going to work
Wyoming,
Nebraska, probably Montana, North Dakota. You're going to work all those states in most likely a very large area of the map where you have to group your claims together in different regional areas of where you're at and strategically map your week out according to where you're going to be on what day. Again, because you're covering this large area, but you're also working different carriers. So you may work five claims that day for five different carriers.
And that is tough.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot that goes to that. So we're just kind of, and again, this comes up in conversations that we have with other adjusters and people coming into the industry. When I say working multiple carriers to them, you know, if you take this kind of deployment, you're going to work multiple carriers. They kind of look at me like, what do you mean multiple carriers?
Well, yeah, different insurance companies.
Different insurance companies.
Different guidelines, different managers, different procedures. Could possibly be different estimating softwares.
That's it. In adjusting today, that's right. You could be working two carriers that use Symbility and three carriers that work Xactimate, and mm-hmm. you've got to bounce back and forth between those two. And that's why we say it's going to be likely your more experienced adjusters, because they're more familiar with the industry. They're more familiar with different types of guidelines. They
have probably already worked those carriers in other capacities in the past, already
Correct.
Have relationships with client managers and field managers, et cetera. And that's kind of how their name got brought into it.
Sure.
And, you know, typically, you're probably already going to have your feet wet with most of the clients or carriers that you're going to be going to handle. Maybe there'll be a new one here or there because they're a regional one, but typically, you will already have a little bit of experience doing it, maybe just not doing all of them at the same time.
Correct. And I think when I started doing that for the firms, that's exactly the situation. I had deployed on a CAT basis for all of the carriers at some point in time, at least the carriers that particular firm handled claims for. And then when I went on that particular deployment or any deployment where they knew they were going to need me for everybody, that made it much easier because I somewhat knew their guidelines. But again, working all of those at the same time, there's an approach that needs to be taken if you're going to get the opportunity to do that. And for those of you that are brand new, this probably may overwhelm you because you're going to hear stuff that probably you don't even understand what we're speaking of quite yet. But if you've been deployed a couple of times, or you've at least been on that first deployment, and you're growing and you're wanting to expand, these are things that we had to do to adjust to be able to work those multiple carriers, and we still do today. I mean, as Jason and I continue to work claims, just like all adjusters do, we're at that point in our careers where quite often we're not working just one carrier. They're utilizing us to work whoever's in that area because we can handle the camaraderie and everything that goes along with multiple managers and multiple accounts and multiple guidelines and everything that it takes to be thinking about. And it's not an easy task. So I can tell you this right now, in looking into it, when I'm working multiple carriers, I try to separate out what I do when I sit down and write versus what I inspect, okay? And I try to review or think about the multiple companies that I'm working, especially if I'm actually deployed and working these all regularly every day. I try to look at the most stringent set of guideline requirements when I'm in the field, okay? And typically, it's a matter of who requires more in photographs than any other carrier.
Documentation.
Okay, that's right. The highest amount of documentation required. What carrier that I'm working requires the most? And that's the model I'm going to use on every claim when I inspect it.
Yeah, and I've never found a carrier that said, you're providing us too much documentation.
No. So if I was going to give anybody advice right now, moving into that phase of their career where they're going to start working multiple carriers or they want to know how to approach it, that's the first thing I'm going to tell you to do. Review your guidelines. Review the requirements that every file needs per all 5, 6, 8, however many carriers you're going to be working while you're there, and pick the one that requires the most and model every inspection the way they want their file documented. Okay? Yes.
You know, I agree with that, and I do the same thing. I'm going to throw kind of the next step in there is get the cheat sheets. If they don't provide you with cheat sheets, take their guidelines and make a cheat sheet.
Make a cheat sheet.
And have them titled, you know, a folder that says cheat sheets, and you've got your one for each company in there. And as you're doing your work, you have that up, and you can refer back to it. Maybe some of them remove and replace rain caps. Maybe some replace only, you know, et cetera. All the little bitty differences, they're not all going to be the same. You know, I'm big on Post-it notes.
Yep.
I have a Post-it note when I'm doing that on my computer taped to my laptop that says, you know, this company exact analysis, this company activity diaries. Well, what that's telling me is, where am I putting my file notes?
Yep. Yep.
Some want it in exact analysis. Some want it in activity diaries. Some want a GLR. Some want an inspection note. You've got to lay it out and put it on paper and writing to where you can see it and refer back to it. Eventually, you're going to remember it. But
sure.
To separate all that stuff out. And don't think when you're writing those estimates that you've got it all down. You need to refer to the guidelines.
Hey, man, after a decade of being in this, I have to make those notes everywhere I go, especially when we're working these multiple carriers, because there's just too much to think about. And I'm guilty too. I said, well, I've done it enough. I'm not going to worry about putting a note down. Now, guess what? I'm going to send up the MetLife GLR in the nationwide claim, and then they're going to kick it back to me and go, this is the wrong GLR.
Yes.
And because I didn't put my note down, then I look like an idiot.
Yep. You know, your documents that you have in your print screen, in your template docs there, make sure they're labeled with the first word being the company.
Absolutely. You
know, if it's a MetLife, it should say MetLife invoice or MetLife GLR or whatever, and label it out so that you don't do that. You don't put this one in that file and that one in this file. It's just trying to be organized.
You have to be. You have to be.
You know, another one that I found was talking on the phone to people. When I would get, you know, make sure I actually still paper and pen, and I print out my first note, you know, my loss notices. I actually highlight what company it is across the top of it so that when I call them, it tells me, hey, this is Jason with this insurance company.
Sure.
You've got to be able to make that separation. And when they call you, be able to be generic enough until you figure out which company it is, because they may call you and you may answer. And they say, yeah, this is Mr. Olson. You're coming out to my house on Tuesday. And you're like, are you Liberty? Are you Nationwide? Be generic and say, sure. Doesn't matter what company you're with. You're still going out to his house on Tuesday.
That's right.
And be able to be fluid enough to handle that situation. One of the funniest ones that I ran into was having to keep all the different shirts in my truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of gave up on that. I kind of went to just wearing solid colored shirts without, you know, of course, different carriers want you to wear their branded shirt if at all possible. But when you work multiple carriers, that makes it frustrating. And so I kind of pushed that aside and said, I'm not wearing anybody's brand specifically. But if you're expected to, and that is a requirement, then you are responsible to change shirts from claim to claim to claim. And I have been caught with a jacket on in June because I didn't have somebody's shirt and yep. Had to go work their claim. And it looks a little strange to be pulling up with a jacket on in the middle of June when it's 93 degrees outside. And
inevitably, you may leave your house or RV or hotel or wherever you're staying and think, I've got three, I don't know, USAA claims today. I'm just going to wear a USAA shirt.
Oh, yeah. And then...
and then all of a sudden, ding, and you get a claim that's two doors down from the house that you were at, and it's a different carrier.
Yep. You've
got to be prepared for that.
Sure enough. Sure enough. And that's why, you know, I tell every adjuster when they're training with me, for a multitude of reasons, always have a spare change of clothes in your car. Always have a spare shirt in your car. If anything, you're going to get caught out in the rain somewhere, and you're going to be drenched trying to get off the roof or out of the, get an inspection finished up, and you don't want to show up at your next claim saturated with water. Stop somewhere and change your clothes and go on with your inspections. But
Alan, you talk like you've never split your pants.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to bring that up, but, but that's a real deal there too. You know, I mean, sometimes things just go wrong when you're on the roof.
On a roof and tore my pants, you know, sitting on a ridge and tear them up. And you, yeah, that's, it's a great idea where you're running one or 15 insurance companies that you should keep an extra change. It's just part of your kit.
That's right. But you know, again, it's a different animal out there trying to work multiple carriers. And as you grow in your career, it's going to be something you will have to encounter and you will have to deal with. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I say this, and it's came to my mind because some of these adjusters are new adjusters especially are probably going to be thinking, well, I thought we couldn't do that. Okay, well, hold on a minute here. Are we talking about working multiple carriers for a firm? Or are we talking about working multiple firms? Because that's two different subjects. If you want to work multiple carriers while on deployment for a firm,
and they ask you to do that,
then yes, by all means, you're totally good. You don't want to deploy with a firm and then start handling claims for other firms while you're deployed for a firm. Okay,
that can bring a host of problems, and you can get yourself underwater real fast.
That's right. That's right. We're folks, whoever you deploy with, that's who you work with until they release you from that storm. Don't get in the habit of somebody calls and you say, well, I'm actually in the area, so yeah, send me some claims. Okay. That's not a good idea. I would not recommend that. There are folks out there that do it. Okay. And they may have some type of agreement worked out with the firm that they're working for that allows them the freedom to take on work from other firms. But in a general sense amongst the industry, that's not a good idea to do.
And if one firm has you on day rate, do not do that.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You do not. They're paying you for your day. Doesn't matter if you, I mean, you work for them and them alone.
Right. And if they find out that you're working for other, you know, another firm while they're paying you a full day rate, that's quite possibly probably going to be the end of your relationship with them.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, let's take a quick minute. And, you know, storm season, we're all sitting here waiting. It's right around the corner. In fact, every day we're starting to see some weather pop up. And there's going to be a lot of people out there that may be new to the industry that could be out there getting opportunities to work throughout the remaining part of the year. And they're going to be needing somewhere to go to get advice, you know, or ask a simple question that they feel embarrassed to go ask their manager about. I'm going to direct them and say, go to theadjusterguy.com and check out the private community.
Yes, do that.
We've established this private community for adjusters just like you, even seasoned adjusters that just need to roll something off somebody else's back. I'm not sure about this, or I see this product and I know it's damaged, but I don't know the actual name of it. Where do I find this in Xactimate? Just anything and everything you need. You cannot ask a dumb question. There are no dumb questions in this community.
Well, the ones that aren't asked, but you know, that's the thing, is the guidance without beating up. You know, there are other platforms out there, social media, that you can go to that I've seen a lot of negativity out of.
Absolutely.
And for no reason other than some other adjuster with a big head and make themselves feel better, I guess. I don't know.
There's a lot of good advice that gets handed around the industry, but there's a lot of bad advice that goes around through the industry. And the heart and soul of the Adjuster Guy private community is that. It's private. It's for those that really need the help, for one. Okay, there is a fee involved in being a member of this community, but that fee is there for the reason that the people that are here to help you, it does consume some of our time, okay? But we want to be there to help you. We want to give you good, solid advice. We want to help you grow, okay? And by charging a fee for that, helps us to eliminate any negativity and monitor this community so that it does progress forward and it does give you good opportunity to be successful and get good, solid advice. So, again, please check it out. It's go to theadjusterguy.com, the website. Click on the private community. You can get all registered and signed up from there. Once you register, they'll turn you on so you can see where the Facebook page is. It will be accessible to you. And again, use it. You use it for what you need it for. Don't be ashamed to ask any questions. Myself and Jason both monitor it daily. So with a couple others, it's very likely that your answer could be coming from one of us. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a solid community there to help you be more successful in what you're trying to do. So check it out. That's
the whole purpose of it.
That's right. Okay, so getting back to multiple carriers. Gosh, man, I could go on forever of the different ways to approach it, but the real meat of it is understanding that you have to approach this type of deployment with an organization system that's going to assist you to know who you're working for, when, and what that carrier specifically requires. I think about when I sit down at the desk, and not all adjusters work this way, but I like to work off of multiple monitors. Okay, I sit down, I have a table at the hotel, or when I had my RV, I'd sit down at my RV, I had my monitor set up, I had my desk set up, and I would pull up the claim in Xactimate, or whatever platform I was in, and on my spare monitor, before I would start writing, I would pull that carrier's cheat sheets up, and have them visible to me.
Yep.
And
I don't always use them, but I seem to always do the same thing.
That's right. That's right. And that's a good point. Just having it visibly there in front of me, I may not read it. I may not need it, but it's reminding me who I'm working for, how I need to write that estimate, so that I'm not guessing. And I do it enough that, again, I don't need it. I remember the guideline. But I have it there just to remind me this is what we're working on and this is the guideline I'm following.
And for me, it's the guidelines, yes, but also their closing procedures.
Yes.
Do they have
that
a report?
Can vary
backup?
A lot.
Do they want a GLR? How do they want it uploaded? What gets uploaded? Do they want it in a packet? You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And I mean, everything you can do, every little piece you can add to that, it's going to take you more time working multiple carriers to complete claims sitting at the desk than when you're just doing the one carrier.
Absolutely.
Because you're working like clockwork with one carrier. You don't have to think about it anymore because you get in a routine. But that multiple carriers throws a hiccup in that routine process because now the routine is changing sometimes every claim that you handle throughout the day. And I've heard people say, well, I group all my Liberty Mutual claims on one day, and I group all my MetLife claims on another day, and I group all my Safeco claims on this days. And if you can get an abundance of volume in a concentrated area to do it that way, awesome.
But again,
I can't seem to get it done that way.
But the fill-in deployments that we're talking about, that's not going to be the case.
No.
You're going to be shotgunned over a huge area.
Yeah, you just, in order to efficiently handle the field day and or the portion of the day you're in the field, you can't pick one carrier and just work that carrier on a Tuesday and work the other carrier on a Wednesday and then work the other carrier on a Thursday, or you're going to spend four times the amount of money and fuel and cover twice the territory you actually need to cover.
You know, another thing that I thought of, you know, I was managing clients and getting feedback from some adjusters that were in this situation and doing this right here. And I actually heard on a couple of occasions adjusters say, well, the other clients I'm handling for you guys pay better, so I'm doing theirs first. Big no-no. I understand you may fall in love with one of those carriers more than the other one. They may pay better. They may be easier. You may like their claims better, etc. But when you said yes to doing that, you said yes to doing that, and you handle all of those claims equally. I understand different companies pay differently, but they are all as important as the next one. Regardless of the pay of it, you're still going to get paid on that claim.
That's right.
So why delay it? Why push it off? Why upset your managers and the carrier and do them all, handle them all the same, put the same effort and into all of them and do them all correctly, regardless of which one pays you the best.
I agree 100%. That I've heard that theory before too, and it doesn't matter. You're taking the same amount of time to do the same amount of claims. You're going to get paid the same when it's all said and done. Just put them in the order they need to go in per when you received them and complete the claim and get it sent up.
And understand, when you're working multiple carriers, it's not just the manager that you're buddies with that sent you out there. It's probably their manager's manager's manager who oversees all of those clients who sent you out to run all of those clients. So if you go and have a problem with one of them and you're not handling them the way that they should be handled, it's not just known by that one manager. It's known by the guy that sent you out, who is probably a VP of claims and over all of those companies. And you're putting a black eye on yourself for all of the companies, not just that one that you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't want to scare anybody, because there's a lot of opportunity out there for adjusters. As you know, if you're a second, third year, fourth year, you kind of got your feet under you, you're doing a good job for the firms and they offer you an opportunity to go work multiple carriers, by all means. I've spent a lot of summers working multiple carriers mm-hmm. now over and over and over again. And you can, if you're willing to do that, you can actually take deployments to stay busy. You're mm-hmm. not waiting on a specific storm for this one carrier to deploy enough people to go to work. You can go work anywhere now, because you can work all the carriers that they're offering.
And on that same subject, understand, when they deploy you out there, it's not like a cat deployment where you're going to go, you're going to run your cat claims, and when you're tired or you're ready to go home, you're going to pull the plug and you're going to go home. When they send you out there, they sent you out there because they had a need.
Mm-hmm.
And if they still have claims, they still have to have a place for them to go. So be prepared on those kind of deployments to be there a while.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to grind away. And even if that beautiful hailstorm hits somewhere else, you still committed to be at that place.
They needed you there. That's why they sent you there.
Right. So if you pull the plug and up and run on them, that's probably not good for your relationship with that firm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's again, that you're speaking of a different type of deployment. Again, like you said, it's not a, we need you for the next 2 weeks because the volume spiked and we just got to get through this. They need a man there or woman there to handle the claims that come in every day, because they don't have anybody else to handle them.
And a lot of times, I mean, I know adjusters that have sat on those types of deployments for so long, they're begging to go home. and finally, the senior management who sent them said, okay, let me find somebody else as your relief, and we'll get you out of there and let you go home. And they've sat there for 6 months, 8 months, etc.
But that's not a bad thing either.
No. They've sat in one place and made good money. And you know, just know what you signed up for when you took it. And that this isn't typically going to be your short little run.
No.
Like, you leave to go on a hurricane and you go and run your bunch of claims and you're ready to go home. You go home and it's no big problem because there's 100 other guys out there that can continue to take the claims. And quite frankly, people need to leave and go home so those other guys
sure.
can keep the volume. But when you're there, you are the person. You are.
There's a reason
they sent you.
Yeah. And there may not be any backup for you. That's exactly. why they may say, well, we can't let you go yet.
Right.
We need you there. I get it. You're tired. You want to go home, but we can't find anybody else to work this right now. We need you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, it's just going to, your credibility at that carrier is going up. Mm-hmm. Because they need you, and you're there. The firm needs you, and you're doing them a favor by continuing to stay there and be on top of those claims and handle them well.
And you're doing a favor for typically a high-ranking manager, and at the same time, four or five other managers.
Yep.
So it's a very good way to work your name up that firm very quickly.
Yep, for sure.
But understand what you accepted when you went.
That's right. That's right. And again, I'm going to beat that dead horse, because it is a matter of they need you there. They sent you there for that reason. Okay, it's a different type of deployment, and right. You need to go. And this is all, it relates back to that real deal, guys.
I don't want to do that. Reassign that one.
No,
there's nobody to reassign it to. There's a reason why you're there.
That's right. It's the real deal. This is the real information you need to know going out there, so that you could be doing great for them. Your track record could be awesome, and they offer you this deployment, and you get out there and you don't realize what it is, so you bail, and then everything you worked for at that firm just took a level down, because now the guy that was, or the person that was the one they could count on, bailed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts. That hurts them bad. That hurts your relationship with your managers sometimes. So be cognizant of that. Understand, if anything, understand the deployment that you're going to take. And if you don't understand your responsibilities or your obligations during that deployment, ask the questions before you accept it that you need to know, or you need to ask, in order to know what you're going to do when you get there. If you turn down the deployment because that's not really what you feel like you're capable of handling for them, or be honest with them. Mm-hmm. They would rather you say, I don't know if I'm prepared to handle that, or I don't know that I could handle that type of atmosphere. So I would like to wait for another time before I accept something like that. They can respect you for that more so than saying yes and going out there and then bailing on them, and then them having to clean up another mess, because they may have had to clean up a mess before they got you there.
Typically, you're cleaning up a mess.
That's right. So, hey, man, we are pushing that envelope of time. But last episode, we ran a little contest for liking, sharing, and tagging a friend on the CE Hour post that went out on Facebook right after last episode. And so we owe one lucky listener two packages actually, of CE hours to equal the 27 hours that we're going to award.
A full year worth of Texas CE.
A full 2 years, actually. Now it's every other year. So you will have everything you need in Texas CE hours to fulfill the requirements, including your ethics. Everything's there. So, ding, 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 ding. Here is the lucky winner of the contest.
Rhett Robertson.
Okay. Well, hey, congratulations to the winner. And folks, we just can't thank you enough for continuing to like and share and help us grow. It's just more opportunity for us to give back to you guys. Don't forget to send us an email on any questions you have. And hey, any big plans?
No. Can we do the like and share again soon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think we're going to work on some much bigger and better prizes to go with that coming up in the future. I do have some plans, working on getting some more guests to join us. Some that you probably already know and have seen out amongst the industry. So look forward to that. And hey, man, let's get out of here.
See you later, Alan.
All right, man. Be good.
Every year, independent insurance adjusters across the nation attempt to create a successful business, which is hard to do in an industry that's ever-changing. TheAdjusterGuy.com is a licensing, training, and membership community for independent insurance adjusters. We go beyond licensing to give you the tools, resources, and ongoing support to reach your goals. Whether you're brand new or have been in the business for years and have been searching for a solid community who knows and understands what you deal with daily, check out TheAdjusterGuy.com and download our comprehensive guide to becoming an independent insurance adjuster. Stop guessing and start growing your business. Go beyond licensing.